Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 50 degrees under overcast skies. Today is Tuesday, October 18th, Alaska Day. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. Alaska's Ferry Advisory Panel wants a few changes in Southeast transportation system. The Marine Transportation Advisory Board met in Juneau last week to weigh in on the Southeast Alaska Transportation Plan. That document is being reworked, and options include dropping mainline vessels, ending Cross Gulf and Bellingham service, and building more roads. Panel members liked plans to continue developing a new line of short-distance ships. Robert Venables of Haines is the advisory board's president.
There seemed to be good support for two Alaska-class vessels, with a third, you know, maybe on the far horizon, with one in Upper Lynn Canal and one down in the Gateway Shuttle concept between Ketchikan and Prince Rupert.
New ships in northern and southern southeast could leave other communities with less service. Board member Jerry Hope of Sitka called for continued use of long-distance mainline vessels.
The Mal, the Mat, the Taku, that are as old as they are, and then the Tusty that is in bad shape. We need to provide those class of ferries an opportunity to be replaced.
Board members backed replacing one mainliner. They also voiced support for continued sailings to Bellingham, Washington, and South Central Alaska. They are also interested in roads that would shorten ferry routes. That includes one from Sitka across Baranof Island, but it does not specify a highway up Lynn Canal. The advisory board wants to explore plans for a new terminal at the end of an existing road to Berners Bay north of Juneau that would shorten travel to Haines and Skagway. But members worried about how walk-on passengers would get to the site about 30 miles north of Juneau's Auk Bay Terminal. City planner Ben Lyman said that would be difficult.
There's no way that we can have a fixed route bus service that goes to the ferry terminal and turns around every half hour or every hour when the ferries are coming in at 2 in the morning or at 6 in the morning and not when there's any ferries there.
The board's official comments on the transportation plan will come in a letter drawn up based on discussion at the meeting. A public meeting to discuss the plan will take place in Sitka at 6:30 Wednesday evening inside Harrigan Centennial Hall. It will be preceded by a one-hour open house to review the plans. Another public meeting is scheduled for Angoon on October 24th. It's set for 12:30 p.m. with an open house from 10:45 a.m. until 11:45 at the Angoon Senior Center. A Sitka author who penned a fishy parody of The Night Before Christmas 9 years ago has discovered that even quick work can have long literary legs. Will Swagel partnered with artist Colin Herforth to publish an illustrated children's version of The Bite Before Christmas in 2009. The book and the story of how it was created occupy the center spread of this month's Pacific Fishing magazine.
It was the night before Christmas. Throughout Sitka Sound, not a creature stirred anywhere on the fish grounds. The hoochies were hung in the wheelhouse with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there.
Catchy, isn't it? That's Swagel reading from his modern adaptation of the 1823 classic by Clement Clark Moore. Swagel appeared last December on the Alaska Public Radio Network's Talk of Alaska with a panel of authors and publishing industry experts. That might have been as far as anyone could expect a fishing poem to go, but Swagel, just back from a tour, says The Bite Before Christmas has legs.
The fishing culture is so strong, it's like everybody got it immediately, and that's probably, you know, the most satisfying thing to me to see people in Gloucester, Mass., people in Port Orford, Oregon, people in Westport, Washington. They just look at it and they go, oh, this is about us.
Swagel is a former newspaper reporter who now runs a weekly advertising circular called The Sitka Soup. The Soup has original editorial content, sometimes a crossword puzzle even, and a commentary called Our Town. All are written by Swagel. The Bite Before Christmas came to Swagel as he was staring down the barrel of a deadline, and his effort tided the Soup over for several Decembers.
But it was at least 5 years before the book came out that we had been running it every year in the soup. And it was kind of like, you know, we could, I didn't have to write in Our Town for Christmas because I had this great poem that people were telling me to run again. And then people started saying, do a book, do a book, do a book.
Swagel partnered with a local watercolor artist, Colin Hereforth, who worked a solid year on the 18 illustrations in the book. Bight is spelled B-I-G-H-T and refers to the small sheltered anchorages favored by Southeast trollers. Hereforth's paintings evoke not just the spirit of the holiday, but the spirit of traditional hook-and-line fishing. The first printing arrived in Sitka on the day before Thanksgiving in 2009. Swagel says he must have caught the editors of Pacific Fishing magazine this year at the right time for their deadline. He says it was only a couple of weeks after his interview with Pacific Fishing's Don McManaman that the Bight was featured in the magazine's October centerfold. Now, like any author or artist who lands a hit, Swagel is thinking about what's next, but he won't have any regrets if the Bight is his only keeper.
You know, if this is what I was known for, I guess I would be pretty happy with that because, you know, it's sweet and it's authentic and that's what I'd like to be.
Athwart to the starboard, I jumped with some dread, threw open the porthole and stuck out my head. And what should the dark waves I visaged now feature but a mythical skiff drawn by eight ocean creatures.
Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
There's been bear trouble in towns around Southeast this summer and fall as the animals wander in search of easy food sources like garbage cans. There have been bears spotted walking down the sidewalk and through backyards as recently as last week in Petersburg, where local authorities have captured six bears so far. That number includes three cubs who were released in the forest far away from residences. On a recent rainy morning, Matt Lichtenstein rode along with a state wildlife biologist as he set out to release a young cub caught near a downtown seafood plant.
The little black bear cub didn't make much noise as it pawed at the door of the trap, a large section of culvert pipe with a metal grate on one end and a door on the other. Just a few huffs and some jaw snapping, occasionally a very faint whine. I accompanied biologist Rich Lowell on a trip out the road to release this animal at a relatively remote spot on the Tongass National Forest. As we drove, Lowell explained that he had just captured the young cub that morning. The animal had made a downtown foray inside the Petersburg Fisheries plant and then later got cornered behind the grocery next door.
So ran back to the office, grabbed the bear trap, cooked up a batch of bacon and molasses and oats and made a little cracker trail across the lot, and then we stepped back and watched the bear go into the trap.
Did he literally follow the cracker trail like E.T. following some Reese's Pieces?
Well, you know, bacon is just something that they can't resist, and, you know, relatively tame, having been around town and habituated to humans, so...
It was just a few days earlier that a bear cub, maybe this one, was seen wandering the streets, climbing fences, and running through yards between the schools and the Petersburg Medical Center. Its mother was nowhere to be seen.
You know, people often speculate that something's happened to the sow or she's been shot or that. And I think what's going on is it's just very easy for the sow and the cubs to get separated in an urban environment where you've got... You know, you've got people, you've got dogs, you've got vehicles, and I think they just get separated and don't find their way back together.
Between Fish and Game and local police, authorities have moved six bears out of town this summer and fall, three adults and three cubs. That's a record for the 10 years Lowell's been in town. Since the animals are attracted by garbage, he says the problem is largely avoidable.
If you can secure your garbage can so that it's not accessible to bears, put it in the garage if you have it. Put it out the morning of pickup, then it's not available to bears and they move on.
We stopped on a logging road by a salmon stream at the south end of the island. Lowell says his method for releasing a bear mainly depends on the bear itself. Grown bears require more caution, of course. You can't just pop open the door and wave goodbye. Even these little guys have sharp teeth and claws that can do damage if you're not careful. Lowell climbs on top of the culvert before he actually opens the door.
And then I have that lever up top where I can just kick this open, and he's gonna bolt right out of here, and I'd be surprised if he didn't go up one of these two trees when we let him out of here. Okay, are you ready?
Yep.
As I watched from the gate of the pickup, Lowell opened the trap door from above. The cub seemed reluctant to leave at first. It sniffed the air, looked outside, and looked back at the remaining bacon and molasses inside.
I can't see him. Is he thinking about
it? He's thinking about it, yeah. He likes the food, though, I think. He's just kind of standing there sniffing around. Wow, he's really little. Now he's moving a little bit. He's starting to sniff the sniff outside. There he goes.
It took all of about a minute, and the cub cautiously hopped out, like Lowell predicted, and scurried over to the closest tree and put its paws up on the trunk, but it didn't climb. After a brief glance around, it quickly disappeared into the brush. Lowell said its chances of survival were slim.
You know, they won't have the added warmth of the sow in the den, you know, once they go into hibernation, and whether this thing will even know to go into hibernation is questionable. But again, it's a better option than simply euthanizing it on the spot. At least this way, it's got a chance. It's not a great chance, but you know, it's the best we can do for it.
The day after we released this cub, another was seen wandering around town. I'm Matt Lichtenstein in Petersburg.
A bear cub wandered into Tatsuda's grocery store in Ketchikan Saturday evening and found its way to the produce section. You can watch the video at our website, kcaw.org. Afterwards, you'll feel a lot better about taking your own kids to the grocery store. So in weather forecast today, for Sitka and Port Alexander, calls for wind and rain, highs around 50, south winds 30 miles per hour, becoming southwest 10 to 20 miles per hour late in the afternoon. Tonight, rain, lows around 39, west winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. And tomorrow, mostly cloudy, chance of rain showers, highs around 47 with light winds. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Thanks for joining me. Have a great Alaska day.